Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, presented by the National Federation of the Blind, the transformative membership and advocacy organization of blind Americans. Live the life you want.
Hello, and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono, and I am here with the man himself, my co-host, Anil Lewis. How are you, Anil?
I'm good. I used to be the man, and then I met Mark Riccobono and realized that, you know, well, that's for another podcast, right?
You're still your own man, Anil.
You know, when you say hello, I remember that old Seinfeld episode when they go, hello, hello.
Hello.
And Mark does that too. That's what made me.
Always. Yeah, Seinfeld is a favorite in the Riccobono house.
Yeah. Well, that has nothing to do with our topic today.
Nothing at all, even slightly. And I don't even know if Lauren McClarney were here, we'd have about a zillion more podcast references or Seinfeld references
10,
for the podcast.
Minutes, to act it all out. Yeah.
But we won't do that. We'll talk about what we're supposed to talk about, which
and it
is
a very meaningful topic for me too, because you know my dad passed when I was like 6 years old, and my mom raised all four of us, you know, on her own through a story that's worth telling in its own right. But it gave me a great deal of respect for the importance of mothers and women overall. So she instilled in that, and it's nice that March is Women's History Month. I think that in so many times we're looking at history, we give women a short shift. And the role that they played in all the work that we've been able to accomplish. And that's also true with the NFB. But luckily, you know, President Riccobono, in one of his banquet speeches, dedicated a whole banquet speech around, you know, the history that women have played in our organization. And we're pleased to have two stellar women work in our organization today as our guests.
We sure are. And I don't think they're our guests. They're, you know, they're our friends that are here.
Yeah, guests for the podcast.
Yes, I understand. And they're here partly because Sean Calloway wrote a really nice article in the March Braille Monitor about them and the work that they're doing. And so if you haven't had a chance, make sure that you check that article out. I'm sure it's in the show notes. And just check out the Braille Monitor in general.
Yeah. The title of the article is Filling in the Gap.
Yeah. So let's introduce our women here. The first one is a woman I've known for a very long time. Remember her way back from when we used to do possibilities fairs at the National Federation of the Blind.
And
she was always senior. Yep. Possibilities fairs for seniors. And this woman was always ready to go, volunteering, doing what she could to help out. And when we started the National Harbor chapter of the NFB of Maryland a while back, she was right there on the front lines. This is Joyce Brooks. How are you, Joyce?
I'm wonderfully well. I'm better than I deserve.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I think you deserve a lot. So you must be really, really good then. Absolutely.
Well, yes. I'll take the privilege of introducing or welcoming our next co-presenter, since we're not calling them guests today, I guess. And this young lady may not realize the place that she holds in my heart, but Miss Lois Staves. And the only reason that that's special is because that was my mom's nickname, was Lois.
Oh. So,
Lois, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I am honored to be here.
Well, these fantastic women started a foundation, and they have been doing work in the Prince George's County, Maryland area. Prince George's County is a county in Maryland that is near to Washington, D.C., but, you know, not Washington, D.C., obviously, because it's Prince George's County, Maryland. And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of services for blind people in Baltimore. We have various services there. We have different independent living centers in Baltimore County. We have other things even on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, because Blind Industries and Services of Maryland has a presence down in Salisbury. There's definitely things in Montgomery County, but Prince George's County, like other counties in Maryland and like other counties kind of around the country, didn't have a lot for blind people. And Joyce and Lois found a need, and so they decided to do something about it. So, ladies, I don't know who wants to start, but want to just explain a little bit about the foundation, how it got started, why you started it, and what you do?
I'd like to have them start by telling me, why do you call it the Inspirational 3 Foundation?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's do that.
Joyce, you want to go ahead?
Sure, sure. We called it Inspirational Three because it was a gentleman by the name of Reginald Pratt, Lois Staves, and myself, the three of us. Nice. So that's how we got the name. And that was the name we used when we got our 501c as well.
Nice.
Let me add that it was based on faith, hope, and love, you know? Us being strong, strong believers, you know, faith for the unseen things that were going to happen, the good things that were going to happen with our community, the hope being the joyful expectations, and the love just being the agape love that we have for the community, for the blind folk. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what the Inspirational Three Foundation does.
Well, I'll let you know what our services are. We provide technology training. We provide the independent travel skill training and community resources. You know, we present the resources to the community. And I say we're a bridge, you know, between all of our organizations. I call us a one-stop shop. If you come online, you're going to find some information that you need. All you have to do is ask. You know, we usually have 25 to 30 persons on Tuesdays and Thursday. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're in our 12th year celebration. And, you know, all you have to do is ask the question, you know, I need, I want, I don't know where, you know, and you will have an answer. You didn't ask me for the history, but we got started in 2014. Like I said, we're starting our 12th year. And it was started by the persons that Joyce mentioned because myself, I was involved because I had just finished my graduate work, social work, and I went to a convention in Atlanta, and I saw some amazing things, amazing people. I mean, it was just so amazing, and I was just so floored as to what I was witnessing. But I didn't know, how did they get there? What happened? You know, because I knew the transitions and the difficulties I have been having, I just began to lose my sight. So I was just interested in the human development, you know, the background being my sociological training. I wanted to know, how do you do this? So that's why I thought we needed someone to talk to, someone to support, you know?
Yeah. You took a deeper dive than I was anticipating. We're going to get deeper into what services the Inspirational Three Foundation does. We're also going to get to know you and Joyce a lot better through this podcast. But before we go any further, let's just pause for a brief message.
Advocacy doesn't end with awareness. It ends with access. Under ADA Title II, public entities must ensure their digital content is accessible by April 2026. That includes existing documents people rely on every day. Many agencies underestimate the scope. Thousands of inaccessible documents, limited time, limited budgets. The good news is that large-scale remediation is possible. For clear guidance on what the rule actually requires, visit www.title2.info. This message is brought to you by Numa Solutions. We've remediated hundreds of thousands of pages in days, aligned with WCAG 2AA guidelines at enterprise scale and speed, without sacrificing usability for blind users. Accessibility isn't a privilege, it's a right.
All right, welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast. We're here with Joyce Brooks and Lois Staves, celebrating Women's History Month. And before we get back into our guest, Melissa, I want to shout out you for being one of the inspirational women that I know with respect to the role that you play, not only with the Federation and your family, but in the broader context, the community and society in general. So I had to give my mom a shout out, and then I'm giving the Riccobono mom a shout out.
I really appreciate that. And I would have to shout out Pam Allen as one of my women mentors, chairman of the board for the NFB and the vice president, first vice president, and also the director of the Louisiana Center for the Blind, president of the NFB of Louisiana. She does it all. She makes it all look easy. And she is just, you're literally one of the kindest people that you ever want to meet.
Agreed.
And so she is definitely a woman that I would like to shout out for Women's History Month. The other one that I want to shout out, who I know Joyce and Lois know very well, is a woman who's now passed on. But Michelle Clark was her name. And she was a lovely woman and really also wanted to support and inspire people and had a beautiful voice. And she was the president and the reorganizer of the National Harbor chapter when it got started. She's been gone now for a couple of years, but I always think about Michelle whenever I hear about Prince George's County. And let me just say quickly before we ask you and Joyce, Lois, please both start thinking, who are women that you'd like to shout out for Women's History Month, blind women in particular. But I just want to say 12 years, every Tuesday and Thursday for 12 years, that's some dedication right there. That's a long, long time. So congratulations to that.
It doesn't matter if it's a Christmas, if it's a New Year's Eve, we're there. Someone is on that line for 12
years. Wow, that is amazing. So do either of you have a woman or a couple women that you'd like to shout out for Women's History Month?
This is Joyce. I'd like to say Sharon Maneki.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, gold star. Ronza Hoffman. I think about Debbie Brown, my mother, Martha Mouton. I have to put my mother in that. And I'll let Lois take over.
Joyce took my thunder because Sharon Maneki was the first person that came to my mind. She was, she gave me my first cane. Before the National Harbor, there was a Prince George's County chapter, and Sharon was the president. It was very, very small, 2, 3, 4 people. We met at a Catholic school in Prince George's County. And Sharon, you know, she just told me everything about the NFB. She showed me everything that there was to be shown, and she inspired me, you know, to be involved, you know, and that's how I got to that first convention I was trying to tell you about, because of her.
Yeah, Sharon's been a pillar of strength for the Federation, not just in the Maryland area, because she was president immediately before Melissa became president of the Maryland affiliate, and then she was president before Ronza became.
That's
so
right.
She's been like the incubator president for two other strong women who have led our Maryland organization.
And I was going to say Sharon Maneki, and then I thought, oh, I better pick somebody else, because I am quite sure that somebody else is going to mention Sharon. So,
I want to offer to not just speak to my mom, Melissa, but when you said Pam, that also makes me remember, you know, Julie Deedon, who's the director of our Colorado Center, because Pam is the director of the Louisiana Center. And then I would also have to add Joanne Wilson, who started the Louisiana Center, and Diane McGeorge, who started the Colorado Center.
Definitely.
And Joyce Scanlon. May she rest in peace. Yes, Joyce Scanlon for the Minnesota Center, then
absolutely.
Blind Incorporated. Yeah, we have some very strong women that have been responsible for some significant strides in our organization.
And I better shout out my mom, too, because that would be really mean if I didn't, because my mom is a huge part of why I am the way I am. She was a Federation parent without knowing the Federation. And I owe her and my dad so much. And my mom will be 80 years old in just a few days and is still doing really, really well.
Okay. So. I heard you be shouting out your mom's age. I hope she's okay with that.
Oh, she is completely okay with that. And
beautiful.
If you met her, you'd never guess she was 80 if you didn't know.
This is
so,
true.
Anyway.
I agree with that. And in his absence, on behalf of Presbyter Riccobono, let me give a shout out to his mom, Karen Riccobono. I've met her. She's just an adorable lady.
Yes.
You can understand why Mark is who he is once
absolutely.
You meet her, too. Yeah, big heart. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, all right. Well, let's get back. Where do we want to go from here? Anil, what do you want these lovely ladies to talk about?
Let's find out how these ladies onboarded. You guys, before we get into the Inspirational Three, how did you guys become acquainted with and involved in the National Federation of the Blind?
Well, I can start off with the first person I met was Ray Razor, because him and my brother attended the same church.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at NASA. Hadn't quite retired yet because I did 42 years there. But
Wow.
My retina detached. I've had 13 procedures on my eyes, and I was just going through. I was just in disarray, thinking I could still drive and walk around without a cane. Didn't want to use that cane, you know.
Been there.
I'm not using that cane. So I got introduced to Michelle Clark in 2009, when I first joined the chapter. I think it started in January, if I'm not wrong. I joined the chapter. Of course, Michelle had me up and running, took me everywhere. I got to meet everybody within NFB in the local area. And that's how I know Melissa got involved with the Bell program. I was her second and first vice president during her reign. That's pretty much how I got started. I didn't know about the Jernigan, that you could get that. I was so anxious. I just went to the convention, you know. I didn't get to do the first time of things. So, but nevertheless, that's how I got started. And I've been on board ever since, and I'm on the board of the new chapter now.
Very nice. How about you, Lois?
I got started. I was getting training from the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. And the orientation and mobility trainer told me about the NFB and, you know, how wonderful it was and the work that was being done, the work that we do. And she suggested, because, you know, I was in total denial. I didn't want anything to do with a cane. Don't put that cane outside my door. You know, she would say, well, I can leave the cane. No, you won't leave that cane out there. You know, I was ashamed of my cane. And so she suggested that I join, you know, just to be encouraged, just to have the support of, you know, the organization. And like I said, it was before Michelle, before the National Harbor. Sharon Manicki was president. It was a small group, but that's how I joined. And I think that was in 98. Yeah, I think that was 98. So I've been a long time member. Yeah.
Very nice. Hey, you guys mentioned Michelle Clark again. Every time I think of Michelle, I think of the project she used to do around a national convention. She'd have everybody get the little toiletries out of their hotel room and turn them in, and she would donate them to the homeless shelters. I was like, wow, what a novel idea. You know, yeah. So then she's responsible, because now you go to the hotels and everything's mounted to the walls. So I think about her every time I go to the hotels now, and they don't have the little bottles of shampoo and stuff anymore. I say Michelle did that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys really had a real lived experience, you know, losing your sight and coming to understand that you could still live the life you want, which I imagine was the catalyst for you starting the Inspirational 3 Foundation. And as Melissa said, you found a need and you're filling a need, much like the evolution and the growth of the Federation. So let's talk a little more about the Inspirational 3 Foundation. You talk about calls and that kind of thing. What other services do you provide?
Well, with us being attached to National Federation of the Blind, the majority of our folks are NFBers, so we give the opportunity to talk about state convention, the convention coming up. We will announce that every chance we get, try to intrigue people to attend a convention. Especially, we get people that are newly blind. I don't want to live. I can't do this. It's nothing for me to get that call 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I just get up, sit on the side of my bed, and they say, I can't do this. I don't want to live. I say, it's okay. You're going to be okay. And we sit, we talk to people. Wow. We encourage them. With that being said, I get a little teary eyed. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. This is real.
So it's not easy, as all of you know. And I'm not saying, you know, just because I wasn't born blind, but it's tough. It's tough when you're able to drive. That was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
And not being independent, you know, and not really dependent on folks, but having to do things different. I say.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we have people, we have different topics, and I'm going to let Lois, she does it so well, explaining what we do every Tuesday and every Thursday.
Okay.
You got it, Lois.
Well, the services you asked about, we have the technology training, and we have Tech Tuesdays, you know, every the first Tuesday of the month. No, the second Tuesday of the month, I'm sorry. And there we try to invite persons that have the expertise in technology, that do training, that can give us advice on our smartphones, on jobs. We just have information. Sometimes it's an open topic. Anything you want to ask, we'll bring someone on, you know, just to ask the questions for things that you're not sure about, things that, and it's always wonderful to learn from one another and just to share. That's what we're about. And then the independent living, the independent training, mobility training, and we go out in the community. You know, we pick a place, a time, some place to meet up and just practice our independent mobility skills. You know, that's, you know how important that is to be able to, you know, manage with your cane. And then we have the community support resources where we offer any information, like I said before, that's happening, resources that we need in the blind community to just thrive. You know, there's so much out there that people don't know about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just call and say what you need, what you're looking for. And we have 25 to 30 participants on every night. And somebody has an answer for you. Somebody has sought that resource. Somebody has something to bring to you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. You had something else?
I was going to give you an overlay of our month. The first Tuesday of the month, we have what we call spotlighting. One of the participants we invite to share their story, to tell what they're about, how they lost their vision, what they're doing, any training they have, what training they're looking for. And we find so much commonality in each person. You know,
I love that. Yeah.
We've had the same experiences. We share experiences. We just share the story. And it's just a celebration of your blindness, you know. The second Tuesday, like I explained, is Tech Tuesday, where we offer resources and technology because we can't make it without the tech skills now. You know, everything is, and it's so important that we keep up, and things are changing so fast, you know. Something innovative coming up, you know. And so we try to present to our participants what is trending, what is out there, what is for us. The third Tuesday, we call it Friends and Family, where we invite our friends and family on because sometimes it's just as traumatic to them and they don't know what's going on and they want to share the resources because they can help us, you know, and we're with them and we need their help as well as they need our help and understanding. The fourth Tuesday of the month, we play games, you know, we just have much fun.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, Name Five, just we play a lot of games with Alexa. And on Thursdays, we have health and wellness. Now, that's not necessarily pertaining to low vision and blind, but just health issues. You know, we talk about cancer. We talk about diabetes. We just talk about, well, different eye diseases, doctors, and what's recommended medications. So we share like that.
Wow. You didn't say what happens if there's a fifth Tuesday.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, so this month, we have an extra Tuesday. And guess what? We're going to have our anniversary.
And you guys are
more than welcome to come on board. We try to include everyone that has been a service to us. And like I said again, most of the people are in our beers. And we give that chance to thank our volunteers and everyone because we pull off of DC. We don't care what chapter it is, who you are. And we have iBug, IIB, Circle of Friends. We involve everyone. And
we have
a chance to give out the announcements of any activity that's being, you know, done by anyone in the blind community. And we also give out information about jobs or training and anywhere you can go. Because one thing you were saying, I'm going to leave that in at the end, about Prince George's County not having the services that we need.
Mm. Well, I mean, let's talk about it now because we're curious about what are the challenges that you guys face in doing the work that you do?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things is having things disposable for people that are blind. We have Metro Access. That's good. That's pretty good.
That's the public transportation service?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's helpful when it works. But
yeah, when it works, I think that's the big one.
That's the key, yeah.
Yeah, and that's paratransit and public transit, right? That's both. So
that's both.
Yeah.
That's both. But it's getting better. It's getting much better because we have people that attend the meetings. We have people in our group that are part of the of getting on those calls and going to the meetings. I know in the beginning, we used to go to all the meetings, and that's what it takes because we really made a difference.
And these are the meetings, the public hearing meetings for the Metro Access.
That's right. That's right.
Beautiful.
We used to go down there in person. Yes, we did.
Very
before
nice.
Before COVID. Yes, we did.
Wow. And that's so important because people think they understand it. They think that, oh, we're on time this percentage of the time, and that's pretty good. It's not really, though, until they hear stories from the people that are using it and hear what happens when they're not on time or when they don't show up at all, that really gets their attention. So good for you guys for going down and still now being on the calls now that COVID has changed the way that those meetings take place.
Yeah.
I guess they're more virtual, but good for you guys. That's great.
And we also have Metro Access come on, the CEO or whoever the people are, come on our line and we talk Metro Access.
Great.
People are there to have Q&A to get their answers, and they can tell them some of the horror stories that they have. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Every once in a while, we try to. And I have to give them. We have a guy named Kristen Blake. He's on the money. He just tells us, if you have a problem, this is my number. And I tell him, don't weigh him out too bad, but give out his number so we can call if we have any problems. Now, back to the issues, and I'm going to turn it over to Lois, that we have is, like in D.C., a prime example, most of those people are able to have AIDS. They're able to have people come in if they get sick to get nursing services or services. It is hard here in this county to get all of that. If you have a stroke, if you have a heart attack, I can name a few people are going through that, and they can't get any services. And one thing with Columbia Lighthouse, who I first started off with before NFB, that's what the doctor tells you, the eye doctors, that's all they know is Columbia Lighthouse, which is good, but they don't give the funding to them in this county like they should. Like they get from Montgomery County in D.C., it's pennies that they get. So we cannot get services from Columbia Lighthouse anymore. That's the place that gave me my first cane.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I know that especially Braille services, when people want to learn Braille, that's been really difficult in PG County. I think that there's some people now that are kind of taking that over, but it's a problem. It's a big problem. So,
yeah, we have to go to Martin Luther King Library, D.C. What else do we have? We have some people like Yoliva Robinsons that teach Braille. We have Metropolitan Washington Air has services for your telephone, but you got to go to Rockville in Montgomery County. So I'm saying right here in the hub of PG County, there's nothing.
Well, there's the Inspirational 3 Foundation. Let's not discount that, but yeah.
And there's the Greater Prince George's County chapter now of the NFB, which has just been reorganized. So those are two things. But yeah. I mean, obviously there was a problem that you saw and needed filling.
And the work that you're doing is progressively creating change. So what exists now will be amplified later. You guys are building foundationally on stuff that will hopefully grow in that area and the services will improve. I love the way that you're being active in the Metro Access meetings, and hopefully if there's an opportunity for public hearings around either vocational rehabilitation services or home health care services in that area, that you guys will continue to lend your voices to that work.
And Anil and Melissa, we have been to county council meetings to ask for funding to about the things that are missing in our community. And as I understand it, every county gets the same federal money, but as it trickles down, how they disseminate that money, what programs they are willing to provide monies for, that's how we get shorted, you know. A priority in other things, you know, just like NFB going to the Hill, going Capitol Hill and going to Annapolis, you know, advocating for what services are needed and what needs to be We just don't have that here. And I have made pleas to the county council, you know, as to why not, you know, and promises and, you know, we'll look into it, you know, but that's as far as it goes.
Hmm. Perhaps we'll have a listener who understands that system a little better, maybe able to offer some advice on how you can be more effective in the work that you're doing there. So let's not dwell on all of the challenges. Surely you guys have had some successes in the work that you do. Can you share some examples of some of your success stories?
You know, something came to my mind as soon as I read that on the agenda was a lady that had challenges. You know, she had a caretaker or a custodian that threw up her hands. She was just tired. She was at her wit's ends. The young lady was an introvert. She wasn't willing to reach out. She wasn't willing to get help, you know. So her caregiver had come on the line listening to her because she put her on the line every time she had to, you know, access the link Tuesdays and Thursdays to listen in. Well, when she introduced her and told that, you know, she couldn't do anymore, our friends went into action. They arranged to meet this young lady at a location where they offered her the insight and introduced her to the iPhone.
Nice.
Her custodian bought her the iPhone and they trained her. They actually trained her. And they did this just on their own, just from a call, just from listening to the dilemma that this family was in. And I was just so amazed and so pleased, you know, at them responding like that, you know, and it was great. Another success story, and then I'll let Joyce tell her success story, was the Hope Ministry. That's a faith-based ministry in our community. They met on this. I call us their parents, because when we started, one person heard someone expressing something. Oh, well, what's her name? Can I get in contact with her? And thus they were launched, and that they were the founder and the co-founder of Hope Ministry. And they've been celebrating. They celebrate, I think, believe their 10th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we're there for, you know, to inspire and encourage, you know.
That's beautiful.
I think about a young lady that I met on Metro Access. And by then, I loved my cane. That was my newfound friend. And with that being said, she got on and she's flying. And I'm like, she's knocking herself out, trying to get on the vehicle. I'm like, where's your cane? Here I am, right? Where's your cane? I don't have a cane. So I introduced myself, gave her information about our group, put it in her phone. And so I kind of lost her for like 5 years. And then she was talking to someone else and they was telling her about a lady named Joyce Brooks, Lois Dave. And she said, wait a minute, I remember that name, Joyce Brooks. I met her years ago. I got another phone. I don't know. I lost her. Lo and behold, she came back. And she's one of our volunteers.
Nice.
When I got a hold of her, she was staying in a house. She was drinking and just, you know, doing things to hide what was going on with her blindness. And now we can't keep her shut. She's one of our best volunteers that we have. She's a beautiful person. She's doing better with her family. And she's really accepting her blindness.
That's wonderful. Isn't that the greatest feeling? Because you never know the impact that you're going to have on somebody. Some of the briefest interactions have been so impactful to others. Yeah, that's a wonderful story.
That's such a great story. I just remember you guys during COVID. And I'm sure that, I mean, for you, it's not anything different from what you were already doing. But I remember coming on one time during COVID and sharing some of my story and some of my struggles and sort of some of the ways that I sort of was able to turn things around. And just the care that I saw in the community, I just thought, wow, I am quite sure that people, because it's hard to remember back. I mean, COVID was such a lonely time for so many people, so isolating. And now that we're sort of back past COVID, I think we sort of lose sight of that or don't want to look back on that because it was really scary and difficult. But I do remember just being so grateful when I hung up. Not that I was able to be on, although I love telling my story to other people and I love connecting with people. And so I was very honored to be on. But I was just so glad that there was a group for people where they had 2 days a week where they were going to be able to connect with other people during such a scary time. So I'm sure that people still remember that and still think fondly on those support calls and know that they were one of the things that probably helped them through the pandemic, which is huge for you guys.
And what I remember you, Melissa, and, you know, just kudos to you. I said, she's real. She has a real story. She's just like us. Going, mm-hmm. That's life, you know, life being life. You know, I was so impressed with your realness and with your sincerity. So, yeah, I appreciated you doing that, telling us that story.
I appreciate that. And anytime, I'd be happy to come on anytime. Maybe I'll come on for your anniversary, because that would be lovely.
Oh, yes. The 31st.
Well, since you mentioned it.
I'd be happy to you give me the information. Do you want us to share the information with our listeners as well?
That would be great.
Well, now's your opportunity. How would they connect? How would they get in touch with you?
Okay, we have an email that you can, I have several ways now. Okay. You can send, now that you asked, can send an email to i3s.foundation.inc@gmail.com and give us your information.
Let's slow that down, because that's even faster for me. i3s.foundation.inc.
Yeah, the lowercase I, the number 3, s.foundation.inc@gmail.com.
Okay.
And give us your information and you'll get a link, you know, response. We have a beautiful person that's in charge of that, Miss Harriet Davis. She's one of our board members.
Beautiful.
Yes. And or you can go to our website, which we have developed, we're working on, we're very proud of, and that is i3sfoundation.org. And there's a button on there, you know, that you can come into our meeting, or information that you can send to the info@i3s.org, and we will get that request through there.
Very nice. And the anniversary is on March 30th at what time?
31st.
31st. I got people showing up early. March 31st. At what time?
7 p.m.
Eastern
right. time. Beautiful. And I give out my phone number. My number is all over the website. and we do have a running board. It's 7 people. We have Charles Taylor is the president. Harriet Davis is vice president. Lois Stace is our treasurer. She takes care of our funds. And we have a secretary, Angela Miners. And we have Ray Smith. Let me see who else. Nishika Spears. And they're board members. I'm a board member, and I'm one of the curators of the support group.
Very nice. Please, you give them a shout out too, because unfortunately, nonprofits, sometimes recognition is the only reward you get in the work that you do. So that's very nice.
We are working, boy. We work hard. Work hard, very hard.
I can tell. I mean, even just having a board member being the one that answers all the emails that I'm sure you get, that's hard work for sure. Yeah.
We get more calls than we do emails. I know I do. So,
because you're old school that way, especially if you're taking calls at 1 a.m. God bless you both.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, you started very early. You were very vulnerable talking about your journey, your blindness journey. And I think that's what resonates with the people that you're interacting with. I think that sometimes I have to admit for myself personally, I get to the point where I'm so used to it that I sometimes actually forget what it was like. And it's helpful to be reminded, because that way you can help meet people where they are and really get them to go through that process in a way that helps them, you know, reclaim their lives in the instance where they may have lost vision. So Sean Calloway did a great job. He made you guys sound like superstars in that Monitor article. I had to get a copy of it and get your autographs on it.
Sean is an awesome person. Awesome.
He is a good man.
Yes. Yes, he is. And he's right there with us and for us all the time. And we piggyback on him with his chapter and DC chapter, Circle of Friends, and all the other blind groups that are out there. Yeah.
That's why I said we're a bridge. You know, we're to the community. We keep everybody together.
Yeah, very much so, because, again, up until now, as it's clear in this meeting, Prince George's County is part of Maryland, but I always associate you guys with D.C., so it's all good.
Normal. Yeah, it's normal. If I tell anybody I'm from Maryland, they say, oh, you from D.C.? I was born and raised in D.C., so it's okay.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Good enough. But I just want to, as Sean did, give you guys your flowers for the work that you do. You are indeed inspirational, and I hope that everybody's okay with that, because, you know, blind people can be inspirational for other blind people.
Yes.
And I love your self-sacrifice and your commitment to helping others travel this path as well.
You've inspired me also, Anil. I know you probably don't remember, but when we went to see Miss Edwards, Donna Edwards.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was with you, and you came from the on-train station, and you were just right on point. We met with a legislative assistant, and I was so proud of you. You know, the way you handled everything, the way you represented, you know. And I was just getting started, so I said, look, one more time, you have someone that inspires you, and you were just so wonderful. So thank you for being here.
Well, we all work together. All that I bring to the table is because the Federation poured into me. So I humbly say thank you for what you're saying, but also reflect to the many members of the National Federation of the Blind for being that conduit for me to become who I am today. Okay. Any last words for our listeners before we wrap this one up? It's been a great conversation, by the way.
Yeah, really enjoyable.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I would like for people that would like to join us. And we always need input. You know, what would you like to hear? Who would you like for us to have? What resource would you like to for us to investigate and bring on? And like I gave the information, how we can be reached anytime. So once again, thank you.
And I just want to elaborate on what Lois just said. At the end of the day, I find it a pleasure to do what I do. I never dream in my dreams that I would be doing this. You know, I had sight. I had a good government job. I was out there working, and I lost my sight. And I got treated differently. It was to a point where I said, I tell you what, I almost have 42 years. What I can do is retire. So look what I'm doing now. And this is so part of me. And it's like family. We are family. Once you come on that line, you are hooked in. We don't leave nobody behind. If we don't hear from people, we're going to call and find out where you are.
Beautiful.
So that's been an inspiration for me, and I'm sticking with it.
Melissa, I don't know about you, but you know, this has been one of those podcasts that makes your heart full.
Very, very full. And I love that story. And I think more people should really think about that. Either those who still haven't found their employment, or those that have retired. Maybe not all of us can be a person that answers phone calls at 1 a.m, but we should all find something to do, because all it does is keep us younger and gives us a purpose to get up in the morning. And, you know, I was talking about my mom being 80, and the reason you wouldn't believe she's 80 is because that's her whole mincif. You know, that's she is constantly doing and busy, and always says there's just so much to do. You just have to go out there and find it. And so I'm just very pleased, Joyce, that you found such a wonderful way to give back and really took a situation of losing your vision that I'm sure was very hard in the beginning, and have just completely turned it around to be a superpower and a way to reach other people. So God bless you and Lois.
Are my hero too, Melissa, because when I first seen you with the dog and the children, I'm like, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? That's amazing. You really inspired me the first convention I seen you. So, yeah. Kudos to you. Happy Women's Month.
Happy Women's Month.
We want to thank everybody for joining us for an episode of the Mutual Admiration Society. but really, much love to both of you, Joyce and Lois. Thank you for the work that you do. And again, thank you for being inspirational. And hopefully our listeners were filled with the love that you have shared with us today. And until next time, remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
We'd love your feedback. email podcast@nfb.org or call 410-659-9314, extension 2444.